seriously popular.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Chris, I sat down for a long interview with Phil Foden this week, on Monday it was actually, and that will be published across all our Mail Sport platforms from Friday onwards and in the print edition of Saturday's Daily Mail. Now, one thing that Foden said to me in that interview was that he thought Manchester City's season would stand or fall on the back of the games coming up against Real Madrid in the Champions League, Chelsea on Saturday in the FA Cup semi-final, and then Brighton away in the Premier League next week. Suffice to say, that trio of games haven't started very well.
Yeah, I don't know whether Manchester City would look at it like you have Jonah'd them.
My fault.
You know, since you've interviewed
always my
Phil
fault.
Foden, the wheels of the wheels have started to come off. I felt for them last night because they would have felt that is a game which was one that they should have won. They had not so many clear-cut chances, but pretty much dominated the game. But there has been, we've spoken about this many times this season, there has been this something missing, a spark missing, which seemed to be there last season. I think the football was... or they were a better watch last season, but that's a real sore one. So talk about everybody talking about a possible double treble for Manchester City. I suppose look, there aren't any positives going out of the Champions League at this stage, but they can now focus on that winning the Premier League, which I didn't realise. I think I heard Oliver Holt say last night that that'll be the first time ever any team has won a top flight four seasons on the spin, which would be some achievement.
Yeah, that is true. And I promise this will be the final plug for the Phil Foden interview. But Foden also addresses that and talked to me on Monday about how much that motivates the City team to do something that hasn't been done before. In fact, Foden said to me that he thinks about it every single time he puts his boots on at training every day, that the four in a row has not been done before in English football. So if you were Arsenal or Liverpool, City's two title rivals, I think you should now expect if you weren't motivated before, they'll certainly be motivated now, Manchester City, and that could spell bad news for everybody else. Now, I felt a bit sad last night, actually. It feels odd not having an English...
You're right.
Yeah, I'm fine. I've recovered. Feels odd not having an English team in the Champions League semi-final. That shows how far we've come, I think, over the years in terms of the standard of our game. The thought of Arsenal playing City, because that's what it would have been in the semi-final, was pretty mouth-watering. The thought of City playing Bayern Munich or City playing Bayern Munich or Arsenal playing Real Madrid would have been equally tantalising. It's not going to happen. Arsenal went out as well. 1-0 they lost in the Allianz in Munich. Now, as we know, and we won't go over all the details, City's game went to extra time. They dominated against Real Madrid. They should have won. Had Kevin De Bruyne not spooned one over with 10 minutes to go, they would have won. But they didn't. They lost on penalties. Now, what struck me about the penalties was that Erling Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne were both off the field by the time the penalty shootout came around. Pep Guardiola, the City manager, said subsequently that they had asked to come off because they were struggling physically. We'll take him at face value for that. Going forward to Saturday's semi-final at Wembley against Chelsea in the FA Cup, that should play a little bit into Chelsea's hands, shouldn't it? Tired Manchester City players coming out to play on that big Wembley pitch.
Yeah, I've got to say, I'm really surprised if they did ask to come off. I'm not going to, you know, argue with what you're saying. The context in which Pep said that, there are those out there who, you know, would say, well, De Bruyne and Haaland, you know, had they stayed and taken a penalty, Manchester City, you know, would have stood a better chance of winning that shootout. Pep has to do what's best for his team. But I can't remember too many times in my career players on my own team asking to come off. So I suppose if they are injured and not available for the weekend, that's something else. But, you know, on the face of it, I'm a little bit surprised about that. With regards to the game at the weekend, you can look at it two ways, can't you? And, you know, we've spoken about Manchester City now. Their focus will be on the Premier League, but it will also be on hoovering up as many trophies as possible. And, you know, that could work against Chelsea. But this is a Chelsea team, in fairness, who have had a bang average season, well, below bang average, but they have run Manchester City close.
Yeah, the team's played out that very watchable 4-4 draw at Stamford Bridge feels like the start of the season, first half of the season, and then a 1-1 at the Etihad. So Chelsea have got something to build on in terms of short-term memory playing against Manchester City. From a footballer's point of view, Chris, what effect psychologically and also physiologically does playing extra time have on a player going into the next game? Because I know it's a cliche, but both sets of players looked out on their feet by the end of the 120 minutes last night. Should we expect that to impact on City at Wembley?
I don't think so. I think that this is a City team who have been there and done it and are used to seasons where you're just flooded with games. So, you know, they're going to feel flat this morning. They're going to feel down this morning. The day after a game, you get knocked out. But, they've bounced back so many times. So I don't think they can view it like that. It's, you know, FA Cup semi-final. It's about the opportunity. So you can't, at this stage of the season, you can't tell yourself you're mentally tired, which is why I've got to say that, you know, the comment which you made about Pep saying that Haaland and De Bruyne wanted to come off surprises me a little bit. This is you can't go in with that mindset that you're tired. They're nearly there. They're nearly over the line. Let's not, you know, the mindset should be let's finish the season strongly. Let's not whimper and fall away.
What about physically? Does it? I mean, so they'll have they've got Wednesday to they've got 3 days to recover. 2.5 days to recover. Is that enough?
Yes. Physically? I mean, I don't know. Have you heard of masseurs? Okay, and ice baths, and they have these cryotherapy chambers now, don't they? I mean, it's. They're used to three games a week. These players, you know, they're all internationals. But this is where you actually want to be. It seems that this season, and I may be wrong. Did Rodri not say a while back that Manchester City? Yeah. Why would you say that? This is, as a player, exactly where you want to be, other than being out of the Champions League. You want to be involved in all the trophies. This is as a player, at this stage of the season, where you dream to be at. You want to win everything. You want to hoover everything up. So this tired thing, we're all tired, but you can't spread that message. That's actually quite a dangerous message to sort of send out. I don't know why anybody would say that. You think about Clough's team, Paisley's team in years gone by. They'd play how many games did they play? And they didn't have squads. They didn't have cryotherapy chambers.
Heavy pitches.
I don't think they had masseurs back then, did they?
I think they probably did. Heavy. I think hands were invented in the 1970s. People had hands in the 70s.
Not like 15. They would have, you know, they'll have a masseur for every player now. I mean, back then,
but you're right. If you look back today, look back to days of the 70s and 80s and 60 game seasons with 14, 15 man squads, etc. I get where you're coming from. It was interesting that Rodri said,
but people say back then, Ian, people say, oh, well, they didn't run around as much.
Heavy ball. Heavy ball. That's the one, is it? Heavy ball. The Rodri thing was interesting because Pep Guardiola gave that short shrift when he was asked about the tiredness thing. It seems that it's okay. Essentially, Guardiola suggested that if Rodri didn't want to play, then somebody else could. It's interesting that it always seems to be okay for managers to talk about overload on players and too many games, etc. But as soon as a player starts saying it, the managers get pissed off. Now, very, very quickly, Chelsea have had their own penalty problems in the last couple of days. What on earth did you make of that business at the end of Chelsea's, what should have been a very positive Chelsea hammering of Everton at Stamford Bridge on Monday night?
I couldn't believe what I was saying. Do you know the thing which stood out for me, I don't think Cole Palmer's missed a penalty. So therefore, what was the debate about? It just tells me that is the Chelsea dressing room is a bit of a cesspit of overinflated egos, overpaid players who think that they're the finished article, and it also emphasizes what a difficult job Pochettino has got on. You know, you need a harmonious dressing room. Not everybody, it's like in any walk of life, and you know, not everybody is going to get on, but there are rules and there are standards within the within the dressing room and within the team which players simply know they have to uphold. I don't know what was going on the other night. Had Cole Palmer missed six penalties on the trot, then you could maybe understand a tiny little bit about Madueke and Nicholas Jackson getting involved, but the fact that he hadn't, that was such a bad look, and it just showed that to me that Chelsea are a team in name and name only.
Very, very eloquently and powerfully put. I won't disagree with a word of it. I'll just add a couple of things to it. The first is that it's now, sitting here this morning, this sunny morning in Manchester, the 18th of April. Mauricio Pochettino, the Chelsea manager, has had a long time to get to grips with that dressing room. And week to week, game to game, there always seems to be something else cropping up that suggests that he hasn't been able to do it. And I'm not sure how well that bodes for the future. The second thing I would say, and I think I'm right in this, Cole Palmer, he's scored a raft of penalties. He's now in the running to be the leading, to win the Golden Boot this season in the Premier League, which is amazing. But a lot of those have come from penalties.
Not easy winning that.
No, absolutely. You should know. A lot of those have come from the penalty spot. And two that I remember, I think last minute in that 4-4 game against City back in late autumn, late penalty by Cole Palmer to against his old team. And then at the back end of last month, penalty to equalise against Manchester United at Stamford Bridge. High-pressure penalty tucked away by Palmer. I didn't see any of his teammates trying to get the ball off him on those occasions, did you?
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Easy to be desperate for a penalty when you're 5-0 up or whatever the score was at the time. Not so easy when the pressure's on and you're the one who's going to get all the grief if you miss it.
Hold that thought. We'll be back right after this.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another dressing room that maybe hasn't been heading in the direction that Eric Ten Hag would have wanted this season has been Manchester United's dressing room issues last weekend with Alejandro Garnacho on social media, etc. Won't go back into that because we've done it. They face Coventry in the second FA Cup semi-final on Sunday. That's the game that I will be at. Coventry have been pushing for the playoffs in the Championship under Mark Robbins. I bigged them up a couple of weeks ago and they've since hit some bumps in the road. Two defeats, one against Southampton. You're laughing because this always happens. One against Southampton.
No, there's one
against Brighton. Go on.
As Foden, I know. As Coventry.
That's why I didn't back a horse in the Grand National. Heaven knows what would have happened to me. So Coventry have lost to Southampton and Birmingham since I bigged them up. However, that might have been a bit of pre-FA Cup semi-final nerves or lack of focus. Who knows? The bottom line is, they've got a chance in this game, Coventry. They've absolutely got a chance in this game. If they score first at Wembley, I wouldn't be surprised if United went into a bit of a panic.
Is it written in the stars with Mark Robbins, the Coventry manager?
No, nothing's written in the stars, so no, it's not.
Come on, it nothing is. What is. About fairy tales? What about you, fairy? Do we believe in fairy tales?
We're going to go all Craig Bellamy.
Yeah, we should.
Rainbows and unicorns.
Oh, do you know what? Rainbows, unicorns. I think it's a 50-50 game. You might think I'm an idiot for saying that. I think that, you know, you speak about Coventry's recent form, but I don't think Manchester United, this particular Manchester United team, with the great disrespect, are going to strike the fear of God into the Coventry players. They beat a decent Wolves team. To get to this stage, they will be organised, and they will carry a threat. This isn't a foregone conclusion. It's actually a bit of a nightmare game for Eric Ten Hag.
I tell you what, Chris. I think there is one set of supporters at United's football strikes the fear of God into, and that's their own supporters these days. And because you just don't know what's going to happen with Ten Hag's team. I don't think it's a 50-50 game. I think United are quite clear favourites, but Coventry have more than a puncher's chance for sure. They've already beaten a Premier League team, Wolves, away from home to get to this stage. It's a huge game for Eric Ten Hag, but I mean, they're all huge games for Eric Ten Hag. But I do think from his own point of view, because deep down, I think he knows it'll be off in the summer. So he will be thinking to himself, if I leave this football club, knowing that in the first season I won the Carabao Cup, the second season I got them to an FA Cup final, I would at least have something on my CV when I move forward going to my next club. It won't save him. Louis van Gaal won the FA Cup for Manchester United and was sacked the next day. Tommy Doherty won the FA Cup for Manchester United and was sacked the next month. It won't save him, but it will mean a lot to him. Mark Robbins, the Coventry manager, obviously once scored a famous goal for Manchester United to keep them in the FA Cup at Nottingham Forest.
Keep Fergie in a job.
So they say, although it's not strictly true, but people like to say it. You played with Mark at Norwich, didn't you?
Yeah, Mark came to Norwich. I was a young, sprightly, mobile centre-forward/centre-half. He actually, told this story before, came on his first game, came on for me as a substitute at Highbury, scored two goals. This was in the inaugural Premier League season. And that was the season we finished third. As I say, a wonderful finisher. That was the reputation which he'd carved out under Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United. There were those, the criticism of him was, if he wasn't, he didn't have any other really great attributes other than being a finisher. So you had to find a way of creating opportunities for him, which was, you know, he was sort of neat and tidy. That was a bit harsh, but that was the thing which was said about Mark. had a you know, excellent playing career and has gone into management. And I think I've said before on this podcast, he's a manager who, in my opinion, has achieved so much, but never had the opportunity at the highest level, which his managerial career has deserved. He's done great things at Coventry City. You think that they were a penalty away from getting to the Premier League last season. Sold the best players in the summer. That's the Coventry model, Gyökeres and Hamer to Sheffield United. Had to rebuild again. They're on the brink of the playoffs. I don't think they'll quite get there. I hope they don't, with respect to Coventry, because Norwich City are in sixth place. But having said all that, they've had a brilliant season anyway. And this FA Cup run, which year did they win the FA Cup with John?
Why have you done that to me?
It was 87, I think. John Sillett, Bobby Gould.
Shouldn't ask me questions like that.
I think I'm right with that. But that, you know, that would be, for the older Coventry fan, in the memory bank. And to think they've got a chance again, you don't think that I think you're erring towards Manchester United, but it really wouldn't surprise me. They've got some good players. Coventry, Hadji Wright, who scored the winner against Wolves. Ellis Sims, who have seen a fair bit off. He played in Scotland for Hearts, but sort of carved his career out at Everton, surplus the requirements there. But they'll carry a threat to Manchester United, and they will not fear them in the slightest.
Now, you mentioned Hadji Wright and Ellis Sims there. Statistics are interesting. Those two have got 28 league goals and 7 FA Cup goals between them. Manchester United, by contrast, their top league scorer has 7 and their top FA Cup scorer has 2. Just shows what a lean season it's been for Manchester United in front of goal. Everybody talks about the problems that United have had across the back with injuries, the problems that they had at the start of the season with the goalkeeper, Andre Onana. It's actually being up front that United have really let themselves down. Now, there's Premier League action this weekend as well. The days when FA Cup, big FA Cup games were left to sit in glorious isolation for everybody to focus on have long since been gobbled up by the voracious appetite of the domestic calendar. It's a bit of a shame, but there are some big games this weekend. Liverpool are at Fulham on Sunday. That's obviously a huge game in terms of their Premier League title hopes. Arsenal, meanwhile, go to Wolves on Saturday night. Arsenal have now lost against Aston Villa at home in the Premier League. They've lost in Bavaria last night against Bayern Munich. The wheels aren't off. We're not saying that at all. But the nuts have certainly been loosened. But redemption is at hand. Recovery is at hand. Because they play twice in the league now before Manchester City play again in the league. Arsenal play at Wolves on Saturday and then at home to Chelsea on Tuesday. If they could win both those two games, seems a big if at the moment. If they could win both those two games, they'd be 4 points ahead of City. Yes, they'd have played 2 games more. They'd be back on the top of the Premier League. That could be big for them, could it not?
Yeah, if they win the 2 games, that's the issue. What if they don't? And, you know, Arsenal just really have to focus on this game the next 90 minutes. Don't look further ahead to Chelsea. It literally is about getting back on the horse for them. I've got to say, Champions League. Go back to that first game where Arsenal fans, I think Mikel Arteta himself, the first leg, would have felt they could have won the game. I think that Saka moment when he threw himself into Manuel Neuer, it was so, so big in the tie. Ended up losing in Munich, which is, you know, Bayern Munich are a good team, got some excellent players. Eric Dier played well, in fact, for Bayern Munich by all accounts. But for Arsenal, the season is in danger of petering out, albeit, said on Monday's pod, they've had an excellent season. They have made progress, but it would be a bit of a concern at this stage that they are phasing. So this is about, of course, it's about quality, but it's about mentality, I think, for this Arsenal team at this moment in time, and getting over a tricky hurdle at Wolves. Having said tricky hurdle, they're a Wolves team which seem to be fizzling out themselves. not one in five.
You mentioned Eric Dyer there. You mentioned Eric Dyer there. Eric Dyer had the temerity to say in an interview recently, I think it was with Gary Neville, that your mate Ange Postecoglou doesn't really do any tactical work in training. How dare he? How dare he suggest that Ange Postecoglou is anything other than genius?
I think that stuff like that is called sour grapes. So how then, Eric, have the team changed from parking three buses under the last three managers to this attacking brand of football? It's just happened overnight, has it, Eric? They've just magicked it up. That's nothing to do with Ange Postecoglou, Eric.
I think that going forward, anybody in football, whether it be anybody on the inside of the game or on the outside of the game like us, wishes to pass comment on Ange Postecoglou and Tottenham. They should be asked to run it by you first. All Postecoglou comments should pass under your nose for verification and accuracy.
Don't! I'm going to point at you. Don't be
it's
like
ridiculous,
that.
Though.
But have they changed? Have they changed the brand of football? Have they? No. Serious question. Have they changed?
We're not having an Ange Postecoglou debate on this podcast.
No, just a yes or no. Then we can move on. Anyway. Has there been a noticeable change? No. Just answer. I'm not speaking. Until you say yes or no, has there been a noticeable change in Tottenham's brand of football?
I have to say, I think there you have actually finally uncovered a very, 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 very worthwhile tactic as a way to wrest back a little bit of the control of this podcast. I'm not speaking, because let's face it, if you don't speak, then I really am fucked, aren't I? Yes, they have. Yes, they have. But my point.
Good. Glad we cleared that remains. Up.
Quickly, before we finish the Arsenal section, some Arsenal fans, including Henry, our producer, who woke up still damp with tears this morning, suggested, I'm not sure he watched. I'm not sure he can afford TNT. He probably listened on the radio. Suggesting that Alexander Zinchenko is not for them anymore. He got a bit of grief at the weekend, didn't he, for kicking a ball out of play so that an injured Aston Villa player could be treated. He got quite a bit of hammer for that from some Arsenal fans in the stadium and on social media. And he's getting a bit of stick after last night. Is that unfair?
Yep. It is. I can't stand things like this, actually. But look, in the history of football, there's always been scapegoats, someone to blame. Someone has to take the blame for Arsenal's poor form. It's a collective, So I'm not going to say all Arsenal fans, but they're quite a strange bunch, aren't they? There are Arsenal fans who bother to stay till the end of games. I don't know whether Henry is one of them, but very, 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 very reactive. Aren't they? They've had a good season, and Henry and jobless Ben are like sort of spoilt kids, aren't they? If it doesn't go their way, then they have to
jobless
blame
Ben
somebody.
being one of the chaps who works on this wonderful podcast. Look, I think everyone's allowed to be disappointed, Chris. Arsenal fans are feeling a bit flat at the moment. I don't blame them.
You can't keep blaming people, though. I don't blame you for a bad pod. I self-reflect.
Yeah, too much of that. No, it's too much, though. There's probably a little bit too much. No, you don't want scapegoating after a poor performance, which the Zinchenko thing smacks of scapegoating to me. I mean, Mikel Arteta, the Arsenal manager, would 100% say, you win together, you lose together. I think Zinchenko has done a one. I think there was an argument to say, There's an argument to say that Zinchenko and Gabriel Jesus were both bought from Manchester City at the same time by Mikel Arteta. And it's clear that he did it in order to get a little bit of the Man City mentality into the Arsenal dressing room. And that has worked wonderfully well. It was a very, very shrewd move. It was very clever. Whilst he was trying to build a culture at Arsenal, he was able to shortcut that a little bit by buying a bit of good culture, if you know what I mean. But I think there is an argument now to suggest that maybe in terms of the way the team are going, the quality that's needed, it could be that Zinchenko and Jesus have probably both served their purpose and it's time for an upgrade. I think that is a reasonable point.
You've got the same blood as Henry, the reactive blood.
Cold blood.
Just, you know, a couple of games and the wheels are off. Just imagine had Arsenal won those games. We wouldn't be having this conversation. You've just sort of had a pop at football fans for making scapegoats of players and just done the same thing.
Football,
you've got Jesus and Zinchenko
What I just said, you can put in the basket labelled shrewd football analysis. Thank you very much. And you can put Henry. You can put Henry's nonsense in the scapegoating envelope. Right, that's it for us. Before we finish, and we did have a poll out on Spotify that's been running for the last week. We asked you a week ago. You just mentioned it there, Chris, actually. We asked you a week ago in relation to Bukayo Saka's dive to try and win a penalty in the first leg against Bayern. We said on Spotify, would you accept diving if it won your team the match? That poll is now closed. What an honest bunch you are. 69% of you say no, you would not accept diving if it won your team the match. And while we're at it, let's off the top
liars.
Of it.
On this, off Thanks for voting in the poll, but you're all liars.
Off the top of my head, let's stick another poll out there. I'm making it up as I go along, but that's okay. If Erik ten Hag wins the FA Cup for Manchester United, does he deserve another season? Yes or no? That poll will run on Spotify from the end of this show for another week. Let us know what you think about ten Hag and his future. It's not as though we've not discussed it enough times on this podcast. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Please look out for my Phil Foden interview. That will be dropping on Mail Online Friday afternoon. It'll be in our match day pullout in the print edition of the Daily Mail on Saturday. Foden talks well about his backstory, his hopes for the future. He talks about England and the Euros, talks about Pep Guardiola coming through at City, all the rest of it. It was a fascinating hour spent with him. There'll be some bits and pieces dropping on our social platforms with Foden over the next couple of days. So look out for those on X and on Instagram and on TikTok. I think that's enough self-promotion, Chris, don't you?
No, I'm really looking forward to the Foden stuff. I know you were looking forward to sitting down with him. So can't wait for that.
That's enough of me talking about me. We'll be back on Monday to talk about some football in the next edition of It's All Kicking Off. Thanks for being with us today, and we'll see you then.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.